again, always keep it in mind as we looked at 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. It should be as our soul prospers, so will our stewardship. The aspects of life that God has designed that we be stewards in will always be pleasing to Him. But when that fails, then those things that God has told us we need to be stewards in will suffer. So always keep that in mind. We begin this last week as far as stewardship of material things and money, that a great problem that exists today. And we looked at not only from the federal government as you pass down through the state, the local, to the homes, even businesses, or whatever you want to look at. And that is the great problem of debt. It's simply because people are overspending. And we want to look at some principles as far as what the Bible teaches concerning this. Is this approved in order to have things, or does God not approve of this? Going back and doing a little bit of research, it had that the national debt has doubled since Obama has took office, simply meaning that we're spending double of what we once spent before we came in for that. The problem with that is going to be what eventually? But if it keeps going like that, we're told that in the next decade it will increase 50% at the rate that we're going.
We'll be indebted to other countries more than what we are now.
But it's going to have effects upon whom?
Our children.
Our children, how?
Like the Great Depression.
Huh?
Just like the Great Depression.
Well, it's eventually, as this stuff goes, taxes, eventually, I don't know if somebody knows correctly, we're paying what out of a paycheck now, what, 40% of a paycheck each week? That's going to increase. And so it's going to be, you know, their bring home pay, if you will, look at it, is not going to be as great because it's something that we can't get under control, if you will. It's almost, as we mentioned, it's a time in which people love being in debt. And we looked at the things that companies, stores, whatever, have made it so easy to have access to things. And it's an allurement, if you will. If you look at the things going on today, you may have others. Buy now, no interest for 6 years. Well, that's appealing. Interest costs a lot if you buy a vehicle or whatever. Okay? You go to stores. You purchase something, say, well, in any store, they say, do you have a such and such card? Well, no. Well, take one and you'll get so much off. Well, you think this is for your benefit. They're doing it for their benefit, which it probably didn't cost that much to begin with what they're asking. And more than likely, with that, you may purchase something else. If you look at an interest on store cards, it's anywhere from 20 to 35%. And so the first few years, if you make the minimum payment, all you're paying is an interest. But the allurement of what, how they advertise, is not for your benefit. It's because to place you under them as far as what they're the one making the money. It's not helping you, you know. Again, we looked at that this puts burden on marriages. That is the number one cause of divorce now, is the debt that has incurred because people cannot control their spending. We looked at last week, anything you need, you just say charge it. You put it on the card. You have no forethought. If something happens, how are you going to pay that back? Or the burden that it would place maybe upon your kids or whatever, if that happens. Again, we must have a firm understanding as we begin of why we are here. And it's not because of the statement that is made in Luke chapter 12 in verse 19, when Christ says concerning this individual, this rich young fool, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for you for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. It's not to go for all the gusto in life. And that seems what people do today, that they accumulate thinking that's what people look at as being successful. That's not what God looks at as being successful, because you accumulate A, B, C, D, E, and F, that I have succeeded in life. When in reality, as a steward, you have failed greatly in life. Again, we were not put here on this planet for this, but this, even among Christians, this plays, and as Christians, we're still failing as stewards, especially the young Christians. Because as Greg's going to deal with, they have not been taught, but though they should have taught, of what to do as far as riches. They have, again, access to credit that in previous generations were unheard of. And some of the older, Catherine and others, Ruby, can go back. What kind of credit was available to you at the time you were growing up?
None.
None. And so you had to live within what, Catherine?
What would you get working at like $1 or $3 a day?
But you live within that which you made. And what come first from that $2 or $3?
Was food for the table.
Or meals. Okay?
Well, when I was a young girl back in Lexington County, back in those mountains, we didn't have any bills because we had no electricity. We had nothing.
Well, Mom was often said, she said, me and your dad never paid a day's rent. We always had a home.
Well, my daddy worked like for other people, and that's the way their husband, he didn't hand out dollars.
But I understand time to time. I'm just saying this is where it's got to today. And say in another decade, as we talked about, where's it going to be then for your children, for our children and grandchildren? What would you say is the number one priority as a steward of money as far as what your money is first before anything else comes off that you use? What's your number one priority as far as a steward and your money?
You saying what it should be?
Yeah.
What it should be is first and foremost should be to God. All right. To God.
1 Corinthians 16, verses 1. Now concerning the collection for whom? That's first. What would you say second? 1 Timothy chapter 5, and he provides not for his family. Now, if the money's gone after that, what do you do? You don't go charge it. Those are the priorities. What would you list as a third? Huh? Galatians 6 and verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity to do good, folks, those are the top three priorities according to the Bible. Okay? Anything before you allow for that, are you being a good steward?
Will you give those again, the chapters?
1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, now concerning the collection for the saints. God is always first in our life. That's top priority. I think it's 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. If any provides not for his own, he is worse than an infidel. His own family. The things, not that they want, but that they need. And you'll see a big difference in the money that you bring home if you give those children the things they need and not what they want. Okay? In Galatians 6 and verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity to do good all to man, especially those of the household of faith. So, our brothers and sisters in Christ, we always have, if possible, if it's there, if it gets that far, that we'll look at that a little bit later, what that the opportunity means in the Bible, how we look at the opportunity. But those are the top three on that. Right?
Well, we had a question asked to Christ, you know, when it comes to tribute money, and he says it's rendered to Caesar. We get forced to pay taxes, and that comes right out of your check before you even have a choice to do anything else.
Yeah, well, I'm dealing with that which on that, okay? We know that usually comes out. That's what I'm saying. That's going to increase part with our children. So what you're bringing home, that which I have access to that's left to me is what? That's mine, how I determine to spend, okay? Greed is a terrible thing. Bankruptcy rates number in the millions each year. Some may be legitimate because of sickness, or I understand that, and you understand that. But many bankruptcies are just simply due to living beyond one's means. USA Today said the average credit card holder has an average of 7 cards on them. An average of 7 credit cards in their purse or billfold. And they say that the average money that you can get off each card is $1,642, which amounts to over $11,000 a year that you can take a credit card and get stuff. Again, they make it so easy. They advertise it so easy as if you get the payoff. Many times a credit card is obtained to pay off another credit card, maybe at a cheaper interest rate. But again, a lot of them are that. Proverbs 22 and verse 7 says that debt is like a slave. You become indebted to that. And often makes slaves of people. Turn, if you will, to 1 Kings or 2 Kings 4. 2 Kings 4. Here of Elisha and the widow Oil. And notice what is recorded here as far as what Elisha tells her. Now you talk about a certain woman of the wives of a certain sons of prophet cries out to Elijah saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead." So you hear that, have application where the head of the house dies. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And she says, "Because that the creditors are coming to take my sons to be their slaves." The position of being in debt puts one in the home. Maybe that happens. So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few." In other words, gather many vessels. "And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into this oil into all of those vessels that she had gathered." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. She brought the vessel, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. And that came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her sons, "Bring me another vessel." And they said to her, "There is not another." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, that is Elisha, and he said, "Go sell and do what?" That's first. Okay? And pay your debt. Then what?
And live on the rest.
That's top priority. That's what the Word of God said that she was to do. It's not to go buy things before that you worry about your debt. And normally that's what happens. I get the things first I want for that week or that month, whatever. Then I worry about how I'm going to pay a bill. That's not what God's Word recorded. Romans 13, verse 8, we should not owe no man anything. And this, again, should be our attitude. Elisha, go and sell what you have and pay your debt, and you and your sons shall have rest. Again, we get the cart before the horse, in that first we pay for our pleasures and then figure out how to pay our bills. Again, what half your lives would be. I don't know how many in here are debt-free. But if you are, how do you feel?
Right.
Somebody's debt-free. It's great, ain't it? That you don't have to worry about who will take this, this, or this from. It's just a great feeling. Knowing that you owe no man anything. And that you can focus upon other aspects of more money for the Lord and for maybe helping your family as they struggle maybe in their lives, not due to something that, you know, that they've done. But it's hard to make a living today because of the prices and so on. But we have opportunity to do greater opportunity for the Lord, for our family, and for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's that. And that's a steward. As we do that, God is going to reward us for that. In order to give on the first day of the week, we need to be good stewards. That's what we talked about. That's the top priority. Stewards of God's Word is the most important stewardship that we have, and we look at that. From that comes all other aspects of our stewardship of how we do that. We mentioned last week that Dave Ramsey made the statement, if I can check, can look at your check register and daily calendar, I will know you not by who you say you are, but who you truly are inside. Because what you do with your money, what your mind determines to do with your money, is going to show you the person you are, and you can say anything else that you want to. No, that's not me. He says, right here it is. If I ask the question, is God your biggest bill of the month? Now, I understand we have to deal with groceries and such, the needs. But is God greater than your TV that you watch, the bill? Your phones, entertainment centers, things you buy for yourself? Where does God fall in that? Do you have bills greater than what your contribution is? Birthdays, Christmas, toys. You listed that. Where does God fall? We may teach our children how to save, but we don't teach them how to spend. We don't teach them the principles of giving to God. When you look at the Old Testament, turn to Leviticus chapter 9. We see under the Old Testament, the children of Israel was commanded to give the very best of what they had. It was to come first before anything else was done, even for their families. Leviticus 9, verse 2, and he said to Aaron, take for yourself a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering without blemish. And offer them before the Lord is phrased without blemish. That means they would be perfect as could be for an animal. And to the children of Israel, you shall speak, take a kid of the goats as a sin offering, a calf and a lamb, both of the first year without blemish as an offering. Again, that God did not want second best in their lives from that which they were to offer. In Leviticus 2 and verse 12, no grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven. That's verse 11, verse 12. As for the offering of the first fruit, you shall offer them to the Lord. They shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet aroma. The first fruits, that of your things which you grew, was to be first offered to God. Numbers chapter 18. In verse 12, all the best of the oil, all the best of the new wine, the grain, their first fruits which they offer to the Lord, I have given them to you. All of the best. That when we give to God first, then we're given all He's first of the best that we have at that time. He comes, if you will, the old saying, off the top. We're told quite often in the Scriptures to examine ourselves in various ways if we're in the faith. And do we examine ourselves each week when it comes to time to prepare our minds to give to God? Many may not know today they're not giving enough, that God is being cheated due to debt. And the things that they are trying to obtain in the world. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7, we're told a purpose in their heart. How we're going to give, not what we're going to buy for entertainment. The word purpose in this verse means to bring forth, to take by choice, prefer. It's who I prefer to give that which I bring home to first. And everything else behind that is secondary, even our family, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm first to give to God, who made him available that I could do that. If you think the job is something you went out and earned, it's a gift from God. They're next to just like children and wives. They're gifts from God. They're not something that you had any part in. That God created woman for man. It's His gift. Children are a heritage from God. They're a gift from God. Okay? So it's nothing that we do. It's everything that God does as stewards. That He's placed all these which are His under our control or oversight. We are to provide for our own if we're to be good stewards. As we look at 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, Paul says, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever, and some versions may read infidel. Many people struggle with this today because they're lazy. They were never taught a good work ethic by the person who should have been teaching. That would be the father. And so we have lazy children today who's not been taught as God. When you look at that word provide, it does not mean food only or clothing only. It's to provide them in all aspects of life. That you have concern for your household, how they're going to grow up and be a steward of God. Whatever that incorporates, that's what you are to provide for. Genesis 3 and verse 19, to provide does not mean to have every nice thing under the sun, but we are to work. Well, let's turn to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19. Begin with verse 17. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I have commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth. You shall eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. So it comes with labor, that we're to teach them to labor, because that's what God has placed of how we're to have our food and stuff today, or how we're to acquire our food and stuff. It's through jobs that we may have. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 8, and having food and clothing, with these let us be content. It's not with everything that we desire, but Paul says in direction from God, with food and clothing, be content with those if you have nothing else. Even with that, God has blessed you greatly. For no other reason, God has blessed you greatly. A lot of times we get too busy, as the old saying, keeping up with the Joneses. Well, all the time saying, well, I have to provide. You don't have to provide what the Joneses provide. You have to provide what God said you need to provide, and that's food and clothing. But again, of looking, boy, sure, this desire to have things we do not, and sometimes it leads us in a way that we should not. Many young people today want what their parents have or have attained, but they want it yesterday. They want to, when they go out, they want it at that moment, not realizing that over a course of years and years and years and hard struggles, and budgeting, if you will, and not overspending, their parents finally obtained the things that they have. It did not come without a struggle. We need to understand that, and our kids need to understand that. Turn to Luke chapter 16. The parable of the unjust steward. Verse 1, there was a certain rich man who had a steward. An accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. He called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master has taken the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. What did he mean by that phrase?
Work.
Why could he work? Huh?
It's a shame to beg, but I don't know why it couldn't work. He didn't want to do it yet.
Well, it couldn't work. He was ashamed
to beg.
Couldn't have been pride.
Well, pride's why you're ashamed to beg.
It ain't today.
No, well, people don't have pride.
That's the idea. As Dad always said, you need to teach your kids to work. That involves more than showing them how to put a garbage bag in a garbage can.
Yes, see, I heard on the news the other day about those three kids that damaged these things here in Laurel County, and their answer as to why that they did is because they was bored. And my first thought was, well, yeah, when you're not made do anything,
you become bored. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it results in. Proverbs 21, verse 5, the plans of the diligent lead to plenty. But those who are hasty, it lead to poverty. The diligent, if you're diligent in stewardship of money, okay, it'll lead that you have plenty. God's going to see that that happens. But if you're hasty in that, the writer there says it'll lead to poverty. Proverbs 21, verse 20, there is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but the foolish squanders it. That paycheck comes, it's probably before the sun goes down. A lot of times they're spent. The writer of Proverbs says treasure and oil in the dwelling will always be that of the wise. It'll always be in their home. You'll always have every need you need in the home if you're wise. But if not, you're going to squander and waste it. The wise does not devour all that he has, but the foolish does. Why? There's things that God has told us we need to do with that which we have, okay? It's to be a steward to God. God never told a man to buy a BMW, but he does say not to build a tower without first counting the cost in Luke chapter 14, verse 28. And the principle, if you want to look at Luke 14, verse 8 about counting the cost, is budgeting. You budget. You count the cost. Can I do this? Do I have the money that I have set aside for certain things? If you don't, you don't do it. It's just that simple. And in doing this, again, it helps provide for our families. We must be generous to all men, again, as we mentioned, as good stewards. Willing to give, ready to shower. 1 Timothy 6:18, let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. How can I do this? If I've invested all my money in the world, I can't. And so I fail as a steward. And we'll give an account for God. There are many today in this country who are rich, but yet dress themselves, I see Dewey shaking his head, dress themselves as poor people and stand on the corner. You see it at the exits, anywhere you look of that, and beg for money. Many undercover reports indicate that they make up to $60,000 a year by doing that because they're simply too sorry to work. And so they're rich. A lot of times you stand out here at 41, you'll see a constant flow between there and Kentucky Fried Chicken back, and here we go again on that. Now, I'm not saying we're not to help, but we need to be wise in how we spend our money, okay, or who we give it to. Again, keep the principle that God laid down in Genesis 3:19, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. Proverbs 21, verses 25 and 26, the desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous give and do not spare. Again, the contrast. But with those in legitimate need, again, legitimate need, we should be willing to help them. Again, Galatians 6 and verse 10, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. James 2 and verse 15, if we see a brother or sister naked or destitute of food, what do we do? We're helping. What do we do for them? John Wesley, of course we all know who John Wesley is, said concerning this giving, which is one of the truths he probably spoke, but anyhow, he said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, all the places you can, all the times you can, to all people as you can, as long as you can do it. I thought that was a good quote. And James 2:16 is just simply is a rebuke of those people who do not do what John Wesley quoted. Do good at all times. John 2:16 and 17, by this we know love because he laid down his life for us, as we also ought to lay down our lives for our brother. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? And again, among Christians, there's many that give the lip service, eat, drink, and be merry. On that, wish you the best. Hope things work out for you. That's many Christians' attitude towards helping those. Why? They don't have the money because they squandered that which God has given. In having the means, have you ever asked around a personal contact, do you know somebody that needs help? How many times have you asked an elder or a preacher or a brother, do you know somebody that needs help? So I've got someone I'd like to help. I would say it's probably very seldom done in each one of us' life. Why? We don't have the money. But yet that is a command of God. Our brothers and sisters who are destitute, we're to have money for that. Some may say, well, if I help someone, others will want me to help them also. God's principle for this is found in Galatians, again, as we have opportunity. Okay, it's not saying in this, as I have opportunity that I have money, I'll help. You're missing what Paul is saying in this, that when I have money, then I have opportunity. What he's saying is, the only way that you can help, when the opportunity comes, you must have money. Not the opportunity, but when the opportunity comes, I must have money to help. Because this is what a steward does. But this is always not the case. 1 Timothy 6, verse 7, for we brought nothing to this world, it is certain we can carry nothing out. But yet we live our lives daily, and we think that's going to happen. That we'll be throwing the casket with us when we reach that promised land, all this stuff is going to be right with us, and we're just going to continue to live. As we looked at it, you came naked in this world, that's how you're going to leave, just the very way that you came into this world. And always keep in mind, when opportunity presents itself, we need to help. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 2, give a serving to seven and also to eight. I'm to have that to give a serving when that opportunity presents itself to those persons who are needful in life. For you do not know what evil will be on earth. Again, let us be generous as we can. In closing on this lesson, if we make money our God, it will plague us like the devil. We need to always keep in mind. We need to avoid covetousness and greed, and remember we're simply stewards of God's gift. We are His managers of His possession. Make sure we use them according to the principles and guidelines that the Bible reveals. Matthew 25, verse 21, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Your money, material things. Judge yourself. Are you a good steward? Any questions?